for, what the hell is today? The 31st, Thursday of January, something like that. I've been drinking. This is the show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps, and tonight I'm lighting on fire BSV, Sard, Fox, and Suave. What's going on, guys?
Hey, how's it going?
Not much. But Yo. Do you really have to use the fire again?
I'm not feeling very creative at the moment. However, I am currently, I went to the liquor store this evening, and I was going to get a pint of Arrogant Bastard to drink on the show tonight, and they were out of Arrogant Bastard. In fact, they told me the distributor is out of Arrogant Bastard right now, which really sucks. So I got a bottle of Double Bastard. And the blurb on the back of the bottle is quite long, and I'm not going to read it. But suffice to say, it just says the very last line on the when they're describing the ale is call them out, line them up against the wall, and shoot them. I mean, anyways. So, what are you guys drinking?
Just plain old rum and coke.
Sam Adams, always a good choice.
Scotch.
Yeah, I got Crown Royal maple finish.
Nice.
You know, I tried that Crown Maple, and I gotta say, I was not impressed.
I kinda like the sweet aftertaste.
Well, I mean, alcohol is, you know, is a derived. It's a very personal thing. As long as you don't like wussy beer. I mean, if you like wussy beer, then you can just get right the fuck out. But
nothing but Tapp's Blue Ribbon for me.
Okay,
room goes silent.
Yeah, Suave, you're gonna need to leave like now. I need to get all the TeamSpeak sounds on the soundboard so I can actually just have users kicked from your channel. Yeah. So a little bit of station news. We're still tweaking the site. I didn't get a hell of a lot of time to work on it last week. I did get some suggestions, and we're gonna be trying to work on those. I liked a couple of them. Particularly the one of the idea of putting the deciding on the station time and actually putting a clock with the station time on the front page so it's easier to see.
I agree, that was a great idea. Who suggested that? Someone in Europe.
Was it Cyclos?
Yeah, I think it was actually. Yeah. Thanks, Cyclos.
Probably
give
credit
idea.
For that sort of stuff. So that is a good idea.
Yeah, we're just going to pick a time stone to standard on. I have been drinking shit. We're going to pick a time zone to standardize on, and we'll work on that. I don't know when that's going to be done, but it will be done at some point. So we're actually going to be restoring the I Have Nothing archive soon. Again, don't have a timetable for that, but we're working on it. That's a lot of shows.
I think it's restored already, isn't it?
Well, but we've got the new stuff to catch up on as well.
Oh, yeah. So, but the old episodes should be available now.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, that's part of that's done.
Not everybody already knows where the new episodes are. These people have been downloading them.
That was funny. Yeah, they found it. Yeah. That says something when our site actually has enough people who bother dorking through the URLs to find it. Of course, it's if you look at our naming conventions, they're not that hard to figure out. So
increase old number ones. By one.
We're gonna have to
put
start
some old ones in there with weird names.
We're gonna have to start mixing it up and like varying the number of zeros in the name, or just like, you know, skip a show number. Not skip a show, just like skip a number. Like just go from 103. Like this is Pure Decking 103. So the next one we should just do like 105 and just see how many people say, well, where's the one in the middle? It's like, oh man, that one was great. You didn't hear that one? But yeah, we're working on that stuff. I still, if you got good ideas for the site, I'd love to hear them. One of the reasons to do the redesign was make it a little bit more flexible, easier to plug new content into the site. So yeah, hit up the feedback form. It's it's the feedback on the menu on the top of the site. You can get to the feedback form that way. That emails me and Sard for sure. We add anybody else to the distribution list?
I don't remember. I think it might just be you and I.
Oh, okay. Well, it definitely gets to us, and of course we can pass it around to anybody else if necessary. You might look at adding a few more. Anyway, so yeah, obviously, ideas for the site, hit us up. If you like the new look,
man, let us know.
Now's the time to let us know. We're still working on it. So, moving on to the discussion, I found today this. It's been up for about a week now. They put up this interesting open letter at skypeopenletter.com, which is a whole bunch of people, you know, have signed it, but it's an open letter to Skype. And
I mean Microsoft.
Yeah. and I've got most of the letter here. I just want to see the highlights. First of all, they go in talking about how Skype is used by 600 million users worldwide. It's one of the world's largest telecommunications companies. People rely on it for communications. Blah, 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 blah. It is unfortunate that these users and those who advise them on best security practices work in the face of persistently unclear and confusing statements about the confidentiality of Skype conversations, and in particular access that government and other third parties have to Skype user data and communications. Well, yeah, that's because those statements have been made over time and the company has been bought a couple of times, so, yeah, there's that aspect of it. And I'm totally ragging on this letter because the solution is basically. So, anyways, they put, you know, back to the letter. We call on Skype to release regularly updated transparency report that includes quantitative data regarding the release of Skype user information to third parties, disaggregated by the country of origin of the request, including the number of requests made by governments, type of data requested, the proportion of requests with which it complied, and the basis for rejecting those requests it did not comply with. Specific details of all user data Microsoft and Skype currently collects. Well, that would be everything. And retention policies. Skype's best understanding of what user data third parties, including network providers and potential malicious attackers, may be able to intercept or retain. Documentation regarding the current operational relationship between Skype with Tom Online in China and other third-party licensed users of Skype technology, including Skype's understanding of the surveillance and censorship capabilities that users may be subject to as a result of using these alternatives. Skype's interpretation of responsibilities in the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, its policies regarding... I'm going to stop there. They essentially want Skype to do the same thing Google does with their transparency reports. And they want a statement from Skype saying, we know that the government wants back doors. How are you doing that? So, here's the thing. It's actually fairly simple. The internet's a free market. If you don't like what Skype's doing, use something else.
That is kind of hard, because, we're not at the point where, like, everybody, you know, has Skype and nobody wants to use, let's say, Mumble. Like, obviously, now that my parents don't use Skype, they're not going to go get something else, because that's what they know and that's what they're used to. But you're kind of stuck with it, to an extent, right? Like, obviously, you can use other services for other communications, but, pretty much everybody needs to have Skype on their system. But really, when you think about it, do you trust your cell phone provider? Like, do you trust any of these providers? No. Personally.
Not really. I don't even trust my ISP. What the hell are you talking
about? Yeah, exactly. So you just have to bear in mind that they don't have your best interests in mind, and act accordingly.
Well, I've got some stuff in here. We moved off of Skype for the radio station stuff, and we all started using stuff here, and mostly IMing. But, just because we're broadcasting our stuff quite openly, we moved off of Skype for privacy concerns. We have friends in parts of the world that it's not exactly clear how legal it is for them to participate in any kind of media without, like, a license. Well, I don't want to go into detail, but I know some of the people not in the United States, they're actually supposed to get licensed as a media or journalist or something like that before they're allowed to do some of the stuff we do. And so, whereas what they're doing is quite open on the stations, we all use pseudonyms. So, we don't want to get anybody actually in trouble here. So... it's kind of important. Plus, I like the idea that it's just not being monitor. Now, that said, you do kind of have to trust. I mean, you know, we're using TeamSpeak. Hell, there could be backdoors built into TeamSpeak.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, let alone just the server getting compromised anyways. So, I don't know.
There's always an element of risk, and people just need to keep that in mind at all times. No matter what you're using, nothing's totally safe.
Pretty much what I figure, like, if the black bands haven't shown up for us yet, I'm pretty sure we're good. With all the shit that we've talked about over the years, over the station, like, if the party van hasn't gotten us yet, I think we're pretty good. Probably on a few watch lists, but hey, if we do get rounded up, it'll be a nice free meetup instead of having to rent cars and hotels and shit.
You know, like, they probably did mark us for surveillance, and they probably surveilled us for a while, and then they realized, oh, well, these guys are absolutely no threat, and then they moved on.
That's probably
no,
true.
No threat? No threat? Have they not met the BSV?
That's a secret. Oh, come on, where's the soundboard when you really need it? That was the ultimate time.
I'm not used to this system. I want my arcade buttons back.
Probably do know about BFE. They're just too afraid to go in after him.
Well, me and the government have an understanding.
I don't think I even have the...
What happens in BFE's rape dungeon stays in BFE's rape dungeon.
What is this? This isn't it, is it? No, but that's pretty accurate for my handling of the sound system. oh, I know why I can't find it. It's called Chipmunk.
Oh, yes, that's the stuff.
I appreciate the sound, but I'm confused about the name.
It's from the dramatic Chipmunk YouTube video.
Ah. Yeah.
So, as you know, the name made perfect sense at the time I made the sound file, but yeah, I'll fix that later.
Getting back to the story though, like why isn't, what do you guys think about some law that says once your service has this many users, you're required to have an open contract like that, like Google does, an open transparency report?
Because they'll just cap it at that many users minus one and call it a day. But yeah. They'll set up the mirror service that ties into it. You know, and this one is Skype 2, and that one's Skype 3, and they're all separate services. And we've happened to put bridges together. I mean, yeah, I mean, it'll get gamed. Just, well, and any other documentation requirement gets gamed too. Hell, go look at the financials of Enron. But, yeah, just...
You know, like... I don't see any benefit to it. Like, why do I care how many times they give information to the government? Because I know it's a shit ton. And whether it's like, you know, 2 million times or 3 million times, it doesn't matter to me. Like, I know that they're not exactly have my best interests in mind. So you just go from there. Like, who cares if you know the exact numbers?
You just assume that anything you send through it is probably monitored.
Well, really, and when it comes down... Oh, Goyer, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, but you have to assume that about everything. You think your Gmail's private? Or like you said earlier, your cell phone? Hell no. Yeah.
You know, like, if there's a service that respects its users and you know, has a good privacy policy and doesn't allow the... You know, like, just give out everything to all willy-nilly... They're probably not going to have any problems letting people know about that. But let's say that they do, and they're not willing to share any information, you can pretty much just automatically assume that that's what they're doing. You know, like, if they don't want to share information, there's obviously a reason they don't want to share information. It's not in their best interests.
Well,
so that,
you know,
obviously means it's probably going to cost them users.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, it's not them sharing it with the government that has me concerned. Because I've met people who work in the government, and you know how they consider us not a threat? the feeling is mostly mutual. I mean, yeah, they have more of an arsenal, but yeah, I kind of think they've got more important things to worry about than us. But the ones I'm worried about them sharing it with is not the government, but advertising agencies.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, well, hi, we saw you talking with somebody like this on Skype, so now we're sending you all this junk in the mail. It's like, here's all these catalogs we think you might be interested in because you made a fart joke. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just...
No, that actually makes total sense. And, you know, like, that's something that Google does. But they do it in an unobtrusive way.
That's how Google makes their money.
Well, yeah. But, like, you know, like, they still watch your habits and stuff like that. Even if you're not logging in, they'll still identify you with your IP address and everything like that. And they'll watch your browsing habits, and they'll serve up ads based on those habits, even if you're not logged in. So, like, that's, like, total lack of privacy for everything you do on Google is completely tracked.
You've been peeking ahead at my show notes, haven't you?
No, not at all. I haven't even opened
it. You think about how, like, if you put the word attached in one of your emails while you're typing it and you try to send it without attaching a file, Google's like, hey, moron, you put the word attached in your email. Did you mean to attach a file? Because you didn't.
No, I was talking about the tumor attached to the side of my head. Thank you very much.
And they could use that exact same technology to look for any other word and do any other prompt based on that.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, the first time I saw it, I was like, wow, that's a really cool feature. That's also a really creepy feature.
Yeah.
Just remember, if it's in the internet, it's not private.
Yeah.
That is the absolute truth right there. Thank you, BSV.
You know, think of the internet as like hanging stuff out your front window. Anything you put there, the entire neighborhood's going to be able to see.
So we see you were looking at 4chan, and...
It's true, but like I said, normal users, I don't think about this. Like, I have a friend that was all excited, like, oh, I uploaded my stuff to Dropbox and all that. And I was like, yay, do you realize that, you know, that's not, you have no control over those files or anything anymore? But then again, I hate the cloud.
Yeah.
There's nasty shit in the cloud. I don't blame you. I mean, if you're going to go fucking in the cloud, wear a condom because it's nasty in there. It's just, damn, this is good stuff. Anyways,
And Morps is trashed.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, no.
Cool.
Pointing out the obvious.
All right, next, current events. First story I got up tonight. This one's from Torrent Freak, and I think it's hilarious, just in context. When it comes to the enforcement of copyright, Russia is hardly the poster boy of the world's intellectual property-focused companies. In recent years, the country has been subjected to intense criticism, especially from the United States, over its failure to curtail piracy both off and online. It is expected that Russia will eventually harden its current lax approach to copyright because, you know, they're not worried about more material problems over there, like feeding their country. But if the latest news coming out of the government there is anything to go by, that may be much sooner than people expected. A draft law filed by the Ministry of Culture on January 25th proposes that Russia toughen its approach to the handling of copyright takedowns to a level that will terrify technology businesses and give rights holders a reason to party. Under current laws such as the DMCA and other regional equivalents, website operators and hosts are required to remove allegedly infringing content once they receive a properly formatted good faith complaint. The system was widely used, with Google receiving millions of such notices every week. Man, you know that guy at Google's just got to be pissed. It's like, next. I mean, you know they've automated it.
Oh,
but still.
Oh yeah.
The system is widely used with Google. Oh, I'm repeating myself. However, if Russia's draft law is approved, life is going to get very difficult for intermediaries. The proposed amendments to current legislation will see hosting providers and site owners subject to strict rules on how they must deal with takedown requests from copyright holders. Website operators will be given a day to remove or block content, with hosts given an extra day in the event they have to discuss the takedown request with the websites they host. So, yeah, you've got 24 hours to pull it down. It's like,
how is that
we're
even
Christmas
reasonable? That's not fucking reasonable at all.
No, that's bullshit.
So, yeah, no way.
No vacation time for you if you...
Yeah, post. No kidding. It's like, oh, yeah, hi, we see you're having Christmas dinner with the family, but that was 26 hours ago. We emailed you that. Oh, you're just out of your service area because you're visiting the folks? Yeah, too bad. Yeah, that's not going to work.
And how do you expect some site that gets, like, thousands of hits a day on different articles? Like, let's take Reddit, for example. There's fuckloads of posts going on all the time. Let's say in Soviet Russia, something comes across and gets a a takedown thing, do you really think that they're even going to be anywhere near to the moderation? So, like, the entire population of Russia could switch over to, like, forum and, like, blog tech support and be monitoring this shit, and they still wouldn't have enough people.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? They would rather the content sites just shut down.
But don't forget, they have an extra day if there's a discussion on whether or not it should be taken down.
Oh, it gets better. Furthermore, before allegedly infringing files are removed, site owners will be required to make copies and make them available, along with the uploader's personal details, to competent authorities or rights holders. That's a nice one. It's like, yeah, not only are we going to require you to respond within 24 hours, but you have to collect the evidence for us. Yeah. But what will really scare internet businesses is the Ministry of Cultures, and the fact that Russia has a Ministry of Culture notwithstanding, the Ministry of Culture's proposal...
No, you misspoke. It's Ministry of Truth.
Oh, right, got it. Their proposal to fine companies that fail to meet standards laid out above. Should a takedown request be dealt with improperly, the government is suggesting penalties between 3,000 rubles, so it's about $100, for individuals, increasing to a maximum of 500,000 rubles, or about $17,000, for businesses, and on a 90-day business suspension and confiscation of servers, and the package is enough to give rights holders a reason to celebrate. Yeah, so wow. If you don't pull down that video or whatever it is that they're claiming is copyrighted, it's not that it is copyrighted, that they claim is copyrighted. So it's like, you know, we've copyrighted the fucking sound of wind, and you have to pull that video down off your site. And if you don't, you know, we're taking $100 off you and taking your server.
Yeah.
A lawyer at Mail.ru, a company that has faced legal action in the past due to users uploading copyrighted content, said the Ministry of Culture, or Truth, did not consult industry experts. Hang on.
That's an understatement.
I like the Captain Obvious outfit she's wearing there. Current legislation fully protects rights holders, including the internet, said Anton Maglovoya. Introduction of new mechanisms not based on the civil code are excessive, disproportionate, and inconsistent with the goals and methods of regulation. Alexander Panov, managing partner at HostCom, an organization that represents the largest Russian hosting providers and domain registers, said the proposals could prove to be considerably problematic. He's also currently receiving his degree in understatement. Our experience shows that 90% of these copyright claims are without foundation, he said, adding that to expect site owners to comply within a day is actually impossible. Yeah. That's in quotes, actually impossible.
I think his estimate is a little bit...
Once again, sounds like we've got somebody writing laws here who doesn't really understand the technology.
Whether they do or not is irrelevant. We've got somebody writing laws here who accepted a massive bribe.
Yeah. No, it's called a campaign contribution.
Yep. So... All right, we picked that one apart as we read it. So, yeah, Russia is getting in on the copyright game in a big way. So, yeah.
And you know, like, they've got a ton of content that's going to need to be picked through now. Like, Russia is, yeah.
With those kind of rules in place, you can't run a Reddit or even, like, a simple forum or a blog that allows comments. You just can't do it.
You could. You just have to have a script that would basically, the second you receive that request, it just automatically removes that page. That's the only way you can handle it.
This bill brought to you by someone who has no fucking clue how the internet works.
Yeah, that's the damn truth. Well, I'll tell you, Swolf, I've written a couple of those scripts to handle DMCA takedown requests for my job.
Oh yeah, and they're going to be extremely abused too.
Oh, horribly abused. And here's the fun part. They change the format of those takedown requests every couple of months just to fuck with you. And a lot of times the reason they change the format is because the company changed the name. Like, the name of the lawyer on the complaint is the same, but it's a new company. And what it really is somebody brought a legal challenge against them, so they just folded the law firm and opened a new one. It's retarded. But, yeah, so trying to manage these things is a nightmare.
So expect the Russian internets to be turned off.
Essentially, yeah, that's what this law really does, is it makes it impossible to run a site with user-contributed content at all.
Not even not user. You get a complaint at, oh, that picture you uploaded has copyrighted. Because, yeah, the copyright people don't care if it's user-contributed or not. They'll file stuff anyways.
Yeah, that's a real good point. It's like, oh, yeah, you're competing with our business. Yeah, that picture's copyrighted. Take their site down.
We used that sentence in one of our books.
Well, I hope their copyright laws don't let you get a single sentence. But
I would not be surprised. Extreme examples.
Well, that's the problem. I'm not sure if that's actually that extreme or not.
Rounded corners. Just saying.
And this is why we drink. Next story. This one's from H Online. By default, Firefox will, in the future, only automatically run the content of the most recent version of Flash. All other plugins will default to click to play. The changes announced on Mozilla's security blog as a way to put users back in control of plugins will increase the security and stability of Firefox. So essentially what they're doing is everything except for Flash. Like if somebody's got a Java applet or something, or maybe a little custom plugins, you know, there used to be one for playing MIDI files on a site. What was it called? God, this is old. Beatnik. Beatnik was a separate plugin just for playing music, so it sounded good. That's ancient, though. I doubt any modern browser. Anyways, so yeah, if it's like a Java applet, you'll get a little box there saying you have to click on before it runs. It's a way to try to help with all the malware. The Mozilla announcement comes after Oracle's recent trouble securing Java, which recently accumulated in Oracle's Java defenses falling to a security researcher. The researchers commented click-to-play is a more appropriate defense against drive-by style attacks that exploited plugins such as Java. As plugins are one of the major sources of instability in a browser, the ability to only activate them on demand reduces the risk of rogue plugins as well. Mozilla had been working on a process per plugin model for Firefox, but abandoned it due to the complexity of re-architecting Firefox. Click to play was introduced in April 2012 to give users more control over plugins such as Flash, Adobe Reader, Silverlight, or Java ran in the browser. Users can elect to re-enable auto-running on a per-plugin or per-site basis. In October 2012, Mozilla added a block list for plugins to activate click-to-play on unsafe plugins. This block list is already included blocks for older versions of plugins, and I've had a fun time at work with old versions of Java because, and, you know, I'm going to stop reading the story here. Essentially, Mozilla is turning this on by default for everything except the latest version of Flash, which is cool,
right.
Except it doesn't help with things like JavaScript and HTML5. Because those aren't plugins, those are part of the browser. I kind of like it, except I don't think a lot of these people have worked in an enterprise environment where like every fucking thing is a Java applet and it has to run, and it generally is it has to use some version of Java that's old, because whoever wrote the application, hard-coded what version of Java the thing has to run in, so you have to run like Java 1.4.2. Or something like that, or the program just won't work. Chrysler, I'm looking at you, actually. But anyways, would you say BSV?
Those are always fun. We have a few of those in my company.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, this whole click-to-play thing may or may not work for you. Go ahead, sir.
Fox and I were discussing that this is probably not going to do anything.
You know, it'd be great for, like, people like us to understand when you're on a page and all of a sudden something's like, hey man, you want to play this Java thing? And we can tell it to fuck off, but for your average lay user, to your end user that we have to deal with every fucking day, shit's going to be popping up on the screen all the time and they're going to freak the fuck out and not know what's going on.
And they're
going
to uninstall Firefox and be like, hey, keep popping up stuff. Either that or they're just going to blindly click through next. Yeah, sure, whatever, play it, go.
Install more viruses equals yes?
Well, it's going to be just like UAC and Windows is. Everybody just clicks allow on it because it popped up so damned often.
Yeah.
So, that's a good point. I like the initiative. I don't think they've thought it through, though. I do like that they've got a list in there. You can turn it off. So, if you are dealing with like an enterprise setup, you can go in and whitelist certain things. So, But with our VPN client where I work, it's all Java and SSL based, and Firefox was disabling like even the current version of Java, so that got to be fun. And the little, because of just the way the thing was written, it, the window was never big enough to get the little bar to allow the plugin, so you could actually see the click to play button. So that was fun figuring out what the hell was going on. All these people calling us, it's like, yeah, we can't sign into the firewall. What? It's like, well, the server's fine. What the hell? So when you actually have to tell them the solution is to use Internet Explorer for now, that's not good.
No.
Although, to be fair, the modern versions of IE aren't terrible, but still. The next story up, this one's from CNN. The New York Times says that Chinese hackers have carried out sustained attacks on its computer systems, breaking in and stealing the passwords of high-profile reporters and other staff members. According to the Times, one of the biggest and most respected U.S. newspapers, the cyber assaults took place over the past 4 months, beginning in an investigation by the newspaper into the wealth reportedly accumulated by relatives of the Chinese premier Wen Jiabao. Jiabao? So I'll help me out here. How the hell do you say that?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm not watching the notes.
J-I-A-B-A-O. I don't mean any disrespect to the guy. I'm just American and drunk.
Pretty sure it's pronounced Smith.
Wen Smith. Got it. The reports on Smith's family members, alleging that they had amassed financial holdings worth billions of dollars through business transactions, infuriated Chinese authorities, who responded by blocking access to the Times website in mainland China. We don't like what you say. We block. The Times said that an extensive article dated Wednesday that it had worked with computer security experts to monitor, study, and then eject the attackers. It said that we imaged all of our machines. It said that by following their movements, it claimed to erect better defenses to block them in the future. Yeah, so you just now
we
noticed
have the erection of defenses.
Wow. Let's see. The newspaper said that the security experts it used to counter the attacks had accumulated digital evidence that Chinese hackers, using methods that some consultants have associated with the Chinese military in the past, breached the Times network. Asked about the Times allegations on Thursday, a spokesman for the Chinese Foreign Ministry said that all such alleged attacks are groundless, irresponsible accusations lacking solid proof or reliable research results. So he's not saying that we don't have an attack, a hacking arm. He's just saying it wasn't us. China has been the victim of cyber attacks and has laws and regulations prohibiting such actions. It's illegal, so it wasn't us. I love that shit. So that, you know, we outlawed killing people, so we just quit doing that, right? Spokesman Hong Li said at a regular news briefing. In a separate statement from the Chinese Military of National Defense said the country's military has never supported any hacker activities. Yeah, I'm going to stop with the story there. Essentially, New York Times got hacked, and they're blaming China for it. And it could be China, because they ran some not nice things about China not too long ago. But it also could just be somebody who's using Chinese computers as a proxy.
Well, because, you know, okay, let's just say, the hacks came from China. And they were in retaliation to what the Times did. Of course, there's no hackers in China. It's just the Chinese government. So if that hack comes out of China, automatically means it's the Chinese government.
Well, yeah, because the only way it's not the government is if they stole an iPhone from the Foxconn factory. Because nobody over there has computers, right?
Well, of course.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's just interesting to me that it's, you know, they've got all this stuff saying it was China. And actually, I was going to use the Times article itself, but it was way too long to read on the air. So, but yeah, they go into it. And the really funny part is there are several articles in relation to this that apparently it's been leaked that the Times uses Symantec for their antivirus and anti-malware and host-based firewalls.
Well,
and so people are giving Symantec all this shit for it's like, well, you let the Times get hacked. It's like, yeah, you have no idea how easy it is to get shit past AV, any AV, do you?
Especially Symantec.
Symantec's fairly easy. McAfee's pretty easy.
Pretty much any of the antiviruses that have been around for a long time aren't all that good anymore.
They're all terrible. All antiviruses suck, period.
Well, yeah.
You need to run them because they catch the old crap. But yeah. Truth is, no antivirus is going to stop a piece of malware that was written 15 minutes ago and never released anywhere else.
Yeah.
So
like, odds are there's somebody in this room right now who has a rootkit on their system, even with us knowing what we're doing.
If they've got it out, they're getting it out without me seeing the network traffic, so bravo to them.
Okay, well, maybe not you, but, you know. Okay, well, okay, let's not beat around the bush. So odds are I've probably got a rootkit on my system.
Have you been going to bad spots in the internet?
Who hasn't? That's where all the good stuff is.
He's got to find stories for IHN somehow.
I know.
Oh. Fair point. Okay. Anyways, I thought the story was funny. Just because it's like they're putting out that they were hacked and it was China. Damn it.
Oh, like, no. Batten well, down the hatches.
I've been over this before. I always think it's funny how everyone blames China for everything. And I'm sure the Chinese do a lot of hacking. Huawei source code is like a lot of people have looked at the router source code and said, yeah, that looks like the old Cisco stuff. So, you know, sure, they could have just gotten some Cisco gear and reverse engineered it. But a lot of people do believe that, you know, the Chinese are actively stealing designs and patents and intellectual property and using it, you know, in their own country. They make everything over there already anyway, so I don't know why they need to steal it, but, you know.
Well, you know, they do the same thing in Russia and pretty much everywhere else. It's just that there's so many people in China that it's a lot more apparent. But well, really, like, you know, if you don't have good copyright agreements with other countries, your intellectual property is going to get raped.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was running some honeypots, absolutely. You see a ton of attacks coming out of the Chinese IP space. But the thing is, most people over there who have computers are running pirate software. They're getting on BitTorrent and pulling down whatever version of Windows, you know, with a rootkit pre-installed for your convenience. Anybody mm-hmm. who gets your operating systems off Pirate Bay, you're probably pre-infected.
Oh, yeah.
Most pirate software is infected these days. Not all of it. You know, if you've got a method for getting it that you trust, cool. But I just flat out, from what I've seen, most of it is infected with something because somebody's trying to build a botnet. And putting out a popular piece of software pirated is a great way to do it.
Yeah, so, sandboxy.
Sandboxy is absolutely a great tool. Yeah, but because they have all these computers over there and they don't respect copyright laws at all, nobody buys their software. Everyone runs a pirate software. So I'm sure that a ton of it is coming from somewhere else and they're just using the Chinese machines as bots and proxies.
Right.
So same thing with a lot of the other countries. You see a lot of attacks coming out of, you know, Middle East and Africa and Russia. Same thing. Nobody bothers checking the copyright over there, so they just all get pirate software anyways because, you know, if, like, you're stateside and, you know, a good bit of Western Europe, it's like, yeah, if you get caught using pirate software, it could be a problem. In Russia, they don't care. It's like, yeah, oh, you're stealing Windows. We're trying to find more potatoes. Go away. I mean, you know, it's... I'm exaggerating a little bit, but... for the most part, they don't give a shit over there. So everybody uses the pirate software, because why wouldn't you? You know? You're not going to get trouble for it. So, anyways, next story up. This one's from Yahoo. And Cycros actually sent us this story. Drones could help human workers safeguard the 4 million miles of U.S. highways, they countered, apparently, crisscrossing the country. The flying robots could inspect bridges and roads, survey lands with laser mapping, and even alert officials to traffic jams or accidents. One such project focused on studying the use of drones recently received $74,984. They got that specific. Why don't they just round it up to $75,000? It's like what they do with the $26 or $16. Well, we bought the case to put the money in. I mean,
Well, it's the same reason that they always have the nines instead of a bunch of zeros. Looks slightly smaller.
I guess. I just, you know, you look at that number and it's like, okay, where's the $16? Somebody couldn't just chip in the $16 to get a nice round number, really? It's like, well, we had to buy the briefcase. Yeah, that's probably what it is, too. It's probably somebody went to lunch. From the Federal Highway Administration and the Georgia Department of Transportation, researchers plan to spend the next year figuring out how drones could help workers as they go about inspecting and maintaining the safety of the public roads and highways. Drones could keep workers safer because they won't be going into traffic or hanging off of a bridge, said Javier Isdelary. I'm not trying to be insulting. I actually just not sure how to say that name. Director of Contact Lab is Zari, maybe? I don't know. Contact Lab at the Georgia Institute of Technology. It would help with physical limitations of the human when doing this kind of work. Georgia represents one of the several states considering how civilian drones could do some jobs for transportation departments, police, and firefighters. The state is also competing to become one of several flight test regions for the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration, a step in the FAA's plan to open up the U.S. civilian airspace to drones by 2015. So I don't even need to read the rest of this. They're trying to open up U.S. airspace to fly the drones around. And, of course, when Cycros sent us the story, he was talking about how think about when these things get hacked, which, true, you could jam them and crash them. I think it's more likely, though, that they're just going to get shot down. It's like somebody's going to see the thing flying around and go, that's a drone, and pull out their 9 and start trying to take it down, because those things have really nice cameras in them.
Just remember to take out the transmitter.
Yeah, pull out the transmitter and stomp on it, right? Throw it off a bridge, tie it to a cat, do something amusing with it.
Okay, here's the thing, though. So these rednecks shoot this camera down. The camera is obviously broadcasting. They're too dumb to reverse engineer this thing. So they bring the entire downed UAV into their trailer, and they start making a redneck sex tape, unbeknownst to them that the camera is still broadcasting this entire time.
YouTube gold.
Oh yeah. That's not YouTube. That's straight to Motherless.
I kind of drifted off there mid-story. Did you mention that new, I can't remember how many gigapixels, but basically they're building a drone that uses like hundreds of little camera sensors, like the ones on a cell phone. And basically you can have one drone flying over a city, and you can go down and resolve anything up to the size of about 6 inches. So you can see like a bird flying with this camera anywhere in a city.
There's like a dick like real joke time in there somewhere, but I can't think of it. So,
I just talking about drones and stuff. That's right up there.
I was down at a DEMA show for scuba diving down in Vegas, and they had a guy there that had like one of those octo propellered drone things, and he straps his camera to it. He actually says like he makes quite a bit of money with local news agencies and firefighters like contracting him, like they'll call him up whenever there's like a fire or a crash or anything like that, and he'll fly like his little remote controlled thing that he built. I mean, it was actually pretty badass looking, but he straps the camera to it and he flies it around for him, like sells them the footage.
Good idea.
Fuck keeping this in the military, like keep it private sector, like start making money doing that.
That's cool. So I'm more just putting the story in because it's going to happen. You're going to have these drones flying around everywhere, looking in your windows, watching
the bridges. You know what's going to happen? You're going to pretty soon they're going to do the same thing they did for airplanes. So you're going to have to make it so you have to have a license to fly, have a drone. And this license is probably going to be very expensive. We're talking like $5,000-$10,000.
I'm sorry, Timmy. So you can't fly that model airplane. That's drone space.
There's a difference between an unmanned drone and a remote control airplane. And, I don't think anything that they enact is going to restrict people from using remote control airplanes, because really there's no threat. Microcontroller
is about the big difference.
Yeah. Like, basically anything capable of autonomous flight, you're probably going to be required to have a license for pretty quick. Because, it's pretty easy to build something like that. A couple $100, you can put something like that together. And, any sort of payload you could want to put on there, it's kind of scary, as soon as this starts hitting the mainstream. So I definitely can pretty much guarantee they're going to try to enact some sort of laws to limit this.
I've just been informed we've done 45 minutes of the show and we weren't actually live on air.
Yep.
Oh.
Well, we at least
we've been recording the whole time.
Good. I went and checked the stream, see what you guys were talking about, and nothing. Stream is down.
Oh, sorry, internet.
I
can't
drunk.
Hear us because we're not
sorry.
Did we have any listeners?
Apparently not. The stream was down. My bad. That's
Please
my fault.
Professional radio station.
Okay, I'm done now.
Bye, Big. My fault. I'm sorry, guys. Ooh, I wonder how much music is in the beginning of the recording, too. Because I was recording before I stopped the... Ooh. Well, this show is going to be interesting. Oh, well. Most people don't listen to it live. We usually only get one or two listeners live. So, let's see. Oh, the story also talked about how people could lose their jobs to drones as well. But that's the same with any technology. I'm not going to get all bent out of shape.
The robots
about that.
Took our jobs!
Well,
they took our jobs!
To be fair, like, technology eliminates jobs. It doesn't create jobs. It eliminates jobs. So, you know, we're like, okay, yeah, sure, there's new industries and stuff, but it's a very real situation where drones will be eliminating people's jobs.
That's true.
As long as
they don't
start eliminating people.
Well, like, a perfect example here for you is one area that a lot of people don't think of when they think about drones is farming. You know, for the last, I don't know, like 5-10 years now, they've had, like, GPS in tractors where, okay, they're not actually allowed to be unmanned, so you have to sit there in the seat, and it's not allowed to be hooked up to the steering wheel, but you basically can sit there and sleep, and it'll beep at you when it's time to turn. And, you know, like, it's literally, like, no problem at all to hook that up to steering. And just imagine having a fleet of robotic, like, you know, harvesters and stuff like that going through fields, and, like, robotic crop dusters and stuff like that. If anybody's seen Looper, you know what I'm talking about.
It is more than just farm equipment that has that tech.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I'm just saying, like, that's probably one of the first places we're going to see it introduced.
I'm just imagining the shenanigans you can have with the GPS jammer and heavy farm equipment now. you want to see if you can get one of them out on the highway, right? I mean, before they realize what's going on. So, let's see. Next story up. This one's from Ars Technica. It's akin to warning someone not to brush her teeth with a brick or to dry her hair with a blowtorch. I don't know. Some people might actually need to be told that. But based on numerous links circulating around Twitter Tuesday morning, it bears saying, don't post sensitive account credentials on GitHub or any other code repository. Excuse me. On Thursday morning, the microblogging site was awash with messages linking to passwords and private cryptographic keys that are publicly accessible. Searches like this and this... Oh, they've got links. Okay, let me summarize here. GitHub... added a code search feature, and a lot of projects check their code into GitHub. But usually, there's a lot more than just project code that gets put into the repository. You'll have things like API keys, SSH keys, SSH hashes, and of course, any secrets in the code. Like if somebody's got, you know, some kind of a static passcode or something, that usually ends up in the code as well. So, apparently you've been able to search for people's private SSH keys and other information in their source code. Let me get back to the story here. Ours won't be calling out individual accounts, although one GitHub offender appeared to reveal a password for an account on Chromium.org. The repository that stores the source code for Google's open source browser. An eagle-eyed security researchers reported finding an SSH password to a production server of a major website in China. Oh, that's just asking for, you know, tit for tat there. another tweet showed what is appeared to be a sensitive GitHub authentication token used by a prominent front-end developer for Bitly. In the wrong hands, a valid token could help miscreants redirect millions of people to malicious sites. And it's not just GitHub users who appear to be loose-lipped, at least judging from links such as the one they've linked in the story there. The practice of stashing sensitive login credentials in publicly accessible code repositories isn't exactly new, so it's unclear why it's only now receiving so much attention. It has touched off on a major debate as to whether GitHub bears any responsibility. Well, no, because GitHub put out from the beginning that these code repositories are open. With some arguing that the fault lies solely with users and others saying GitHub has a duty to prevent misuse of its site. I don't like that argument. I've never liked the whole you have to be responsible for misuse of anything you put out. Because if that's the case, gun manufacturers have a problem. hell, can I sue... can I sue... who makes pens? Bic? For failing a test? Whatever view prevails, the tweet should come as a stern rebuke and a graphic demonstration that the practice is... Yeah, so basically, PSA, do not put your passwords, your tokens, your keys in publicly accessible code repositories. It's funny that people do it, but... crickets, nobody wants to talk about that one.
Don't put your passwords on the internet.
Yes.
Pretty much.
And what you said, that's fucking stupid. I hate people that think, oh, it's GitHub's responsibility. It's a free, open, like...
It's like Russia. They have 24 hours to respond, right?
Yeah.
You mean when I put my passwords.txt file up there, it's not secure?
What?
Bro?
Yeah, it's just like those pictures you took of yourself, you know, in the bathroom naked, and you put them up on Facebook. That's Facebook's fault.
How the hell did you get a hold of those? You delete those right now.
Oh.
Well, I set those to private.
Nice. Very nice. All right. Next story up. This one's from Torrent Freak. Is this my last story? Yeah, this is the last story. All right. This one's from Torrent Freak. Last week, we broke the news, and that would be Torrent Freak, broke the news that the island nation of Antigua and Barbuda, I'm drunk, wants to start a government-run pirate site. This plan came a step closer to reality when the Caribbean country received authorization from the World Trade Organization to suspend U.S. copyrights during a meeting in Geneva. They got permission to do this. Nice. The decision affirms the preliminary approval that was granted to Antigua in 2007 after the country won a gambling-related trade dispute against the United States. At the moment, it's still unclear whether Antigua's exact plans are, but Torrent Freak is informed that the media portal will offer movies, TV shows, and music, as well as software to customers worldwide. The finance minister, Harold Lovell, said in a comment that the U.S. left his government no other option than to respond in this manner. Antigua's gambling industry was devastated by the unfair practices of the U.S., and years of negotiations have offered no compromise. These aggressive efforts to shut down the remote gambling industry in Antigua has resulted in the loss of thousands of good-paying jobs and seizure by the Americans of billions of dollars belonging to gaming operators and their customers in financial institutions across the world, Lowell says. So apparently a whole bunch of gambling sites had set up in this, you know, on this Caribbean island here, and U.S. gambling authorities were coming in and shutting them down. So now they're just saying, well, we're just not going to acknowledge U.S. law, and we're going to set up a pirate site, which I think is awesome. If by the same type of actions another nation caused the people and economy of the United States so significantly impacted, Antigua without hesitation support their pursuit of justice, the finance minister add. The government has not given a time frame for the release of the site, which has been in the works for a few months already. Ideally, Antigua hopes to settle the dispute before opening their free media portal, but there are no signs that the U.S. is going to comply with the WTO rulings. Thus far, the U.S. has only warned Antigua that government-authorized piracy would harm the ongoing settlement discussions. So, I'm going to stop there. Essentially, what Antigua is trying to do is they're trying to get the U.S. to back off on people using the internet to gamble in Antigua's sites. And they're trying to get the United States, because this was a big hoopla several years back, that the U.S. was going in and shutting down sites. They hit a poker site that was ran out of Britain, too, and like somehow managed to confiscate all the money involved with the site and shut it down, even though it wasn't even in the United States. And so what Antigua was trying to do is say, well, fine, if you're going to do this, we're going to set up this piracy website, and unless you back up on the gambling stuff, we're just going to run it. They're using it as a club.
Hey, Antigua. America's going to come liberate the shit out of you.
No, I believe we're bringing democracy to you.
In bomb form?
As long as it's democracy that we agree with, damn it. You can vote any way you want, as long as it's the way we want you to. So, I don't know. You guys don't care that they're going to set something up? I mean, sure, other sites already exist, and who cares, but I just think it's funny.
That's cool if that's government-sponsored, I guess, even though they'll try to do it and then probably turn tail and shut it down. But
I'm waiting for the Pirate Bay to buy an aircraft carrier.
Nice. All right, well, let's go ahead and move into this.
Me love you long time.
All right, I got a couple of things here for Digital Dojo tonight. The first one I have is a website that DuckDuckGo put out called FixTracking.com. And what this is a nice set of guides for how to set up your privacy. And it's recommended settings and add-ons for a bunch of the major browsers, Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Opera, and Internet Explorer, for how to turn off a lot of the tracking, how to block the ads, how to see what's going on with different domains that are being accessed at websites. And these are some very, very nice guides. I would go to that's just for the add-on lists alone. And generally, it's a nice side effect if you turn on all the privacy settings that these guys are recommending. You're actually hardening your browser, especially with the ad block and the no or not script add-ons. And the same kind of hardening techniques will actually make it harder for malware, drive-by malware, to come into your system through your browser. So, they've actually got a whole bunch of guides on that site. So check it out. Nice little quick site there. And DuckDuckGo is generally a pretty good alternative to Google if you just need a search engine that's not keeping logs. So that's your default search engine in the Tor bundle too, by the way. So they're pretty good job there.
That sounds cool. I'll have to check that out.
It's linked right off the DuckDuckGo website down at the bottom as well. So definitely worth your time to read, go through their guides. You might not want to do all of their settings. Like, you might not want to do the scripting ones. I understand that if you're going to do that, you might want to sandbox your browser. But really good quick guides for setting stuff up.
It all comes down to like how much control you want over your browser. Like, I mean, for example, like NoScript. Like, goddamn, was that it was a great tool, but fuck, it could be a pain in the ass sometimes. It's like, oh, you filled out like all this, you know, form on Amazon or other ordering site. Oh, NoScript wasn't turned on, so none of that shit saved. You got to type it all in again. But then again, you go out searching for something, and hey, this site normally would have fucked you over and given you all the viruses ever, but NoScript stopped it. So you kind of got that double-edged sword with that. Depends on how much work you want to put into browsing to get security like that.
I've been using NoScript for a long time, and you know, I've gotten to the point now where wherever I get to a site where I know I'm going to need it, I just automatically enable it before I do anything, because I have run into so many situations where you do fill out all the forms and then have to redo it. But I tried switching over to Chrome and installing NotScript, and I got to say I like NoScript a lot better, and I ended up actually switching back to Firefox just because. I found NotScript to be way more of a pain in the ass.
The only problem with getting that big whitelist set up, which is what it sounds like you did with NoScript, is if any of those sites get hacked and the malware's coming from one on your whitelist, then you kind of miss the point of it.
Well,
but,
well, not really, because, like, yeah, sure, there's definitely that risk, but you're still way more secure than you would be otherwise, you know, especially if you're browsing random, like, congregate sites like 4chan or Reddit or anything like that. Like, who knows where some of those links go?
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. So, yeah, definitely check out this list. I mean, a bunch of good suggestions in there. You know, you might, if it comes to it, you might pick and choose through it about what you want to mess with and what you don't. But good lists of add-ons, if nothing else. So it's definitely worth your time checking out, and it doesn't take that long. The next thing I have up is this website called VulnHub. And from their about page, their purpose is to provide a material allowing anyone to gain practical hands-on experience in digital security, computer application, and network administration. What it is it's a nice collection of It's a nice collection of links, articles, and virtual machines to get you started with some security training. And even if you don't have a lot of interest in hacking, which if that's the case, why are you listening to me? It's beneficial to have a clue about what goes on when a site is hacked. Hacking isn't magic. I mean, I'm serious. I get so tired of having to explain this shit, which is why going and hitting these websites and follow some of the guides and see how to really do it. It's not magic. Just putting on a Guy Fawkes mask and shaking your dick at the computer will not open up a database and a website.
No, man. Like, I've always heard, like, you put on your robe and your wizard hat, and that's how you start hacking. And the color of the hat that you put on depends on what kind of hacking you do, right?
Hey, Sard, do me a favor and just smack him as hard as you possibly can. And,
Oh, you bitch! Fuck you!
Thank you. Now, Yeah, it's not like in the movies where they plug, you know, a ribbon cable into the credit card slot and you sit there and watch the numbers roll down as it takes them out one at a time. If you've ever actually cracked a password, you know that doesn't work like that. You don't get to do them one at a time. It's, you know, all or nothing. So anyway, so this website's actually really nice. The biggest part of the website is all the vulnerable virtual machines, and some of them are pretty cool. Like the second one on the list right now is called Hacksaw, and it's a web app hacking game where the players must locate and exploit vulnerabilities to progress through the story. So their website is actually telling you a story as you hack it. But you can see it's got walkthroughs, you can pull down the virtual machines. I mean, it's just a really nice site for seeing how to do some of this stuff. So. Yeah. You know, they've got some different hacking games and stuff like that on there too. So, very nice resource. I highly recommend spending some time running through some of this stuff. I mean, even if you don't really want to get into it, it's good to have an idea of how this stuff works. If you have anything to do with running a system or site, you need to pull some of these down and run them. Yeah, it's not going to turn you into a security expert overnight, but it'll at least give you an idea of what questions to ask. Like, you know, at the job or something. So, yeah. I would highly recommend spending some time playing with this stuff. Not to mention, you know, it tells you a story. It's fun. So, and it is kind of fun, because especially once you get in and run some of these, and you're like, oh, wait, that same trick just worked on my bank. Fuck.
So, time for a new bank.
Yeah, pretty much. It is amazing the number of times you'll run something almost right out of one of these tutorials and find out it works on a whole bunch of websites. So, you know, and not to mention, these will give you, like, if you're following the anonymous stuff, this will give you an idea of how they do some of what they do. It's all the same stuff. It's just a question of, you know, I look at it like this. If you have anything to do with running a site, somebody is running these kind of tests against your site. The question is whether or not you get a report at the end or not, and whether or not you get a bill. So it's kind of a good idea just to have a handle on it to play with it. And the VMware players, the different virtual machine players are free anyways, so it doesn't cost you anything but your time. That's pretty much all I've got for tonight, unless anybody else has anything else they want to throw out. So, cool. Check out the stream. We're constantly updating it. We're always looking for new music to add. I think Big was actually talking to a new band recently about possibly getting permission to put their music up. We just put a whole bunch of new music up. Pure Decking every Thursday. Shoot the Noise on Wednesdays. NR7, I don't know. BSV, what are you doing with NR7?
Usually Monday. Again, I may be moving it to Sunday.
Ah,
I don't know. Okay. It's show up randomly. You may hear it. You may not.
It gets posted anyways. Just listen to the stream 24/7. That way you can definitely catch it. Unless I'm drunk and forget to hit, you know, the microphone like I did tonight. Of course, I have nothing every Saturday. Always hit up the Galaxy 15 Radio site, the Twitter, and the Twitter handle, which is still automatically updating every time we update the site, which must have been hilarious when we were putting together some of the stuff on the new site. I'm sure it was just spamming people. And also, use the feedback form and the subreddit. We've actually had a lot of good activity in the subreddit, and I'm pushing the subreddit as a replacement to the Shoutcast box, or I guess the Shoutbox is what that was. Lots of reasons I want to get rid of the Shoutbox. Big one, just I didn't have a good place for it in the new layout. So, anyways, that's really all I've got tonight, and I'm going to hit play on the music here.
Shot.
Have you lost your mind?